Any other questions about practice and practice in daily life? Please don't be shy. Yes. So that's one of those brief daily life questions you'd like me to answer. Sounds like that's a Dharma talk in and of itself. But let me just—I'll just say a few words. So the question is for the recorder is a question about sort of reincarnation that seems to be traditionally part of the Buddhist teachings. And does that imply that this is an evolutionary process in which sort of every lifetime there are specific lessons to be learned, and somehow life is just one big classroom and each of us have our own lessons, and the goal is to finally get it, that we don't have to keep coming back to class, and we can graduate and hooky forever or something. Right, recess forever. First, let me talk about reincarnation, or actually rebirth. What you will find, of course, in Buddhism, which comes from Asia, is that you find very much belief in rebirth, not using the term rebirth rather than reincarnation, is very prevalent. Now, again, that is, please understand, that is not a core teaching of the Buddha. I mean, that he taught, okay? But yet, I would say, because he grew up in a society where that was just an accepted belief, that the same way we could say that that it's traditionally in a Judeo-Christian or Christian culture, where that's the dominant religion, idea that people after they die go to heaven, you know, there is that kind of rebirth, is just widely accepted. People may have all different ideas about what that is, but in the same way we could say that rebirth or reincarnation, the sense of that there is a continuation, that our presence in this life, in a body, is a conditioned existence. It is conditioned by birth, growth, decay, and eventual death. But there is something beyond that, something that we are, that each of us are, that is beyond that, that continues on in some form. But I just want to say that when the Buddha was asked questions about that, he very clearly didn't get into it, which is interesting. Because he was primarily concerned with what's going on in the here and now. So you know his very famous response to people who would ask him, can you tell me who I was in past lives? And we know, there are a lot of people who are interested in who they were in their past lives, right? I mean, past life, people want past life regressions, or they go to channelers or different people who are interested in who they were. And the Buddha would say about that, he said, if you want to know who you were in your past life and what your past lives were about, he said, look at your life condition now. Because right now, you are the summation, you are the effect of all your past causes, right? So he said, in a certain way, if you have a blissful life where everything is working for you and you have total ease and everything is wonderful, you can imagine that you had good things going on in your past life. You made good causes. If on the opposite there's lots of suffering and difficulty, and no matter what you do there's always conflict, you can imagine that your past was difficult too, right? So, I mean, that's sort of the way, it's interesting what he left it. And the same way when people say, Buddha, you must have the capacity to see into the future, tell me what I'm going to be in my future lives. Again, he would say, how you will be in your future is the effect of the causes you're making now. Right? If you want to see what your future is going to be, how your future is going to be, see the condition of your life now and the causes you're making in your life right now. So that's, in a certain way, the way he would respond, because we get a sense he was not in a culture that the Indian culture of the time and probably till today, which is very enjoys lots of metaphysical speculation and philosophical speculation, religious speculation, he wasn't, we could say, into that. Right. So while he didn't ever deny it, you know what I'm saying, he just really didn't get into it, as seeing, you know, the main thing is how you are living now. The actions of your body, the actions of your speech, the actions of your mind, this is what it's about. And this is where you should be focused. Now, obviously, if one does believe, right, in a continuation of some form, and again, rebirth, reincarnation, they do, whether, you know, I mean, Buddhism doesn't believe in a soul, so it doesn't believe there's some sort of entity that sort of continues on, but it has its own way of looking at that. I mean, obviously, if one has a sense of continuity over time, right, we could say, that's certainly a broadened thing. It certainly broadens things, and it gives one a sense of the long term, we could say, right? I'm in this for the long term. But what is that long term? The long term, again, I know people talk this way, you know, nowadays about this is a classroom and we have lessons to learn. Some people even think there's some kind of something that's giving us the lessons to learn. Sort of like, before we take birth, some sort of entity or deity or something kind of says, Angie, your lesson in life is to go down, and, you know, sort of like those movies from the 40s or something. Actually, Buddhism doesn't do that. It really is about that what's propelling us, whether what's propelling us in this life or what's propelling us, if you believe, in past lives, are the actions of our own body, speech, and mind. Right? That's what's propelling us. It's called karma, the law of cause and effect. This is what is propelling us, right? It is propelling us in this lifetime. It's propelling us each and every day. And if you take the broader view of many lifetimes, that is the mechanism, and it is solely under our control. Knowing that, obviously, we become very attentive to the actions of our body, speech, and mind, because we know that we have the capacity of setting forth causation that will create goodness, happiness, well-being for ourselves and others, if we are concerned about our future. In a certain sense, the practice of Zen is very much a practice of living in the present moment and living in the here and now. But there's also a maturity and understanding that we have to be aware of the causes we're making in our life. Right? Actually, this is, if you study Buddhism and you learn about the Eightfold Path and things like right action and conduct, you know, the five mindfulness trainings that you know that we recite here and do here, that's all about kind of cleaning up our act, we could say, on the level of karma. That we really want to stop doing those kinds of actions, which clearly cause harm, conflict, suffering to ourselves and others. We want to stop using this mouth of ours and our capacity to generate words, what's called speech. We want to stop using it as a vehicle for, again, creating conflict, creating harm, creating hurt, right? And we want it to become a vehicle that is constructive, that is positive, that is for the good. And then, of course, in meditation, we learn about our mind and our thoughts. And this also, we want to be, also enter into the process of transformation. You know, so as opposed to kind of this, I mean, I'm just trying to rephrase it. So instead of the classroom model with the lesson model, in Buddhism, it's really the movement is from ignorance to enlightenment. You know, if you're asking me, you know, what is this about? This is what it's about, you know. It's how do I move out of a life conditioned by self-centeredness, egocentricity, narrowness, constrictedness, emotional affliction, pettiness, dissatisfaction, you know, all of that, to a life of openness, a life of freedom, a life of understanding, compassion, right? That's the journey, Doug. That's the journey. Now, interesting enough, when you said about, you know, because the classroom model, especially people who didn't like school, you know, there's some people who love school, by the way. You know, they're on their 80th degree already. You know, they just right. So there are some people who love school, right? But there are many people who don't like school that much and do want to graduate and get out and never come back. It's interesting. In Buddhism, there are like two major ways of attending to that. One is called the way of the Arhat, and one is called the way of the Bodhisattva. Are people familiar with these terms? Anybody not? Yeah, that's fine. So, what's interesting is in the path of the Arhat again, which is A-R-H-A-T or A-R-A-H-T, Arhat, which sort of means, it's a Sanskrit word, it sort of means saint. We could say it's a saintly person. And the path of the Arhat, which is a valid path, is about an individual who just says that, you know. Yeah, it's a mess, this world, right? You know, the whole thing's a mess. And I want out. Right? And my focus of life is to cut myself off from all those things that cause me suffering, cause difficulties, cause me to lose it. Right? And I am just going to cultivate, right, my own enlightenment so I can get out of here. That's called the path of the Arhat. I mean, I'm oversimplifying, way oversimplifying. And so don't repeat anything I say. especially to people who follow the path of the Arhat. Again, it's not considered like a selfish path. It's just considered, it's in Mahayana Buddhism, it's called the path of the Hinayana, the small vehicle, which means it's like a one-seater, right? That's all it means. Now, in the other ideal, which is called the Bodhisattva ideal, the awakened being, the awakened warrior, whatever you want to call it, is the vow not to leave the world of dukkha, the world of suffering, until everyone is out. Right? It's sort of like, you know, it's, I guess, a different... I mean, I don't know. Well, this image came to me. It's sort of like, you know, you're in the burning house, right? And there's one person, you know, who just gets out, right? First one out the door. And then there's a person who's helping everybody else get out and is often the last one out. And the Bodhisattva is that one. The Bodhisattva says, yeah, this is, you know, This is a lot of suffering and ignorance going on in this world, right? And I am going to follow a path of awakening, of enlightenment, but I will stay here to be of benefit, to help, as long as I'm needed. So in and that's called the Mahayana. Remember, the other is called the Hinayana, small. Maha means great. So this means it is the great vehicle. It's the bus. It's the, you know, there's like room. It's like, you know, it's not the one-seater plane. It's the jumbo jet. You know, it wants to go with everybody, right? Because it the difference is the first individual is just very focused on their own suffering and their own liberation. And again, that's not to be faulted, right? But the other person looks around and notices that everybody else is in the same boat, right? All my brothers and sisters, all my family, all my friends, everybody I work to, everybody, you know, in society, you know, they all want to be happy, and they don't know how to create it, and they go about it in ways that only creates more suffering. And if I have somehow, good fortune, stumbled upon a path and have been able, through my own good fortune, to come to a certain degree of liberation and understanding, I want to help. Right? I want to help everyone. So in that case, there's no end to it, Doug. We don't want to get out. Right? Because also there's great meaning and joy in helping others. So all of a sudden the Bodhisattva discovers this very profound principle, which is not readily apparent to the individual. Because most of us, the individual thinks, I got to work this out for myself. Right? I'm alone and I got to work it out for myself. The Bodhisattva makes that wonderful discovery that wanting to help others and being with others is itself very liberating. You know, to be genuinely present to another human being, to be genuinely loving and open and kind and et cetera to another human being is the path itself, is very liberating. Because it gets us out of our self-absorption. It gets us out of our narcissistic way of dealing with life. So it is a path of itself. And it just goes on, you know. So what is the path, lifetime after life, Brian? It's the path of enlightenment, right? And you might say, in answer to your question, probably for each of us, right? Each of us are unique. Each of us have our own issues. Each of us have our own karmic load in this life. And that if we are introspective and reflecting, hopefully we'll see what our issues are. I would imagine many people in this room, the type of people who come to meditation, are people who reflect in that way and are probably aware, these are really these are the kind of issues that have really restricted me in this life. And they're different than the person sitting next to me, right? And so I think one can discover very clearly what it is that we need to liberate ourselves from this in this lifetime. But it's an endless process. It's an endless peeling away. And we have, how do we know that? Because we have the examples of enlightened teachers and Buddhas and whatever who show us what it means to live a life of total freedom, where one is not restrained at all, one is not constricted at all, one is not contaminated at all, by issues. So for everyone here who says, wow, do I have issues? Can you imagine what your life would be if you had no issues? If you had no issues. Nothing in any direction that held you back, nothing in any direction that constrained you, nothing in any direction that in any way caused you any kind of emotional negativity or resistance. Can you imagine that kind of openness, that kind of empty, free mind? Well, that's an enlightened mind, right? And we all have that capacity. So you can see, it's a developmental process. And again, Doug, your question about many lies, I would say most of us could probably even see in this one life, right? One could look back over one's life 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years, and see, when I was in my 20s, 30s, these were the kind of issues that were most present to me. But now in my 40s or 50s, really those aren't the issues anymore. And now there are other issues that have become clear because maybe those have been resolved or whatever. So in that way, I think it just continues. But we always want as people who are following to one degree or another a path that is seeking greater awakening, greater enlightenment, greater freedom, that we're always kind of moving in that direction. because that direction will keep the light flowing. Does that? Any other questions? Good.